This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ali to our Palau listeners who have just joined us here on Radio Australia in the last few days, and welcome to everyone joining us for Neat and Footy, the place where we talk nothing but Pacifica talent in the Rugby League and Rugby Union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is the man who finally faltered in his Super Rugby tipping, Tinira Arona T.
Kia ora,
donuts this week, mate.
Kia
none
ora,
from
ona,
two,
mate.
League and Union, perfect.
Yeah, look, the Crusaders, I thought they would back up the Highlanders and we get a South Island win. But, nah, we got the loss. And the Reds come back, which you'll be covering shortly.
Absolutely.
On the show today, I'll cover some NRL. There were some close games and upsets. And I've just realised why Shelley Long won't be joining us today, Sammy.
Oh, she's not here. Why?
Because it's a public holiday in Queensland.
We work public holidays. What do they do up in Brisbane?
No.
This isn't work.
For our listeners, we're based here in Sydney and New South Wales, and usually we get Shelley Long here to cover the women's footy, but yeah, it's a public holiday in Queensland, so she'll be listening in while we do our best to cover. But later on the show, we have a special interview, a 19-year-old Samoan NRLW player. Her name is Mona Lisa Soliola. Yes, Soliola, she is the niece of Canberra Raider great and also ex-Tor Samoa captain, Sia Soliola. Trust me, this is one interview you do not want to miss.
Moment of the week.
Yes, each week we like to start our show with a moment that has caught our eye. And for our Palau listeners, I thought this was a nice one where Gihamat Shibasaki has picked up a week-to-week contract with the Rabbitohs. And, with the amount of injuries going at the club at the moment. So this guy could be the answer.
So he's from Palau, like heritage.
Yeah, he's Palau, and he's also Japanese and Torres Strait Islander.
So there's some already good news heading out to Palau. Beautiful.
Guess how many NRL games he's played already?
One.
29.
29?
Yes. He played 13 for the Brisbane Broncos, 14 for the Newcastle Knights, and 2 last year with the Cowboys.
Ah, there you go. That's impressive. So where's he signed?
He's at the South Sydney Rabbitohs.
So with the Rabbitohs?
On a week-to-week contract, week-to-week basis due to their injuries.
And what does week-to-week mean? As in, like, they could – is he part of the main squad until the injury cover is over?
Yeah, so it's like a training trial where the extended squad, outside of the 30, they have a small – development list cap, salary cap, and then they'll bring players in to fill in spots or just to cover some injuries during that period of time. And yeah, I'm guessing this is a great opportunity for him, and wish him all the best.
Well, hopefully he's the spark that's needed at the Rabbitohs, but all the best to him, and it's great for our Palau listeners.
Yes, Gihamat Shibasaki.
I'm Sienna Lupipo, and you're listening to Neat and Footy.
So here I will be covering the NRL news, and we had round 9 in the NRL, some really tight games, as I mentioned earlier, 3 games that were separated by 2 points. And on Friday night, I bet no one but the Raiders players thought that they were going to leave Manly with the 2 points. With 30 minutes left in the match, the Seagulls were leading 24-6. There was no way the Raiders were going to come back from this one, but they did end up coming back. But shortly, I just want to quickly touch on, Sammy, your biggest comeback. Can you remember what you got for me?
I remember my first year, Western Force played the Brumbies. We were losing at halftime, coming at halftime. John Mitchell was a coach at the time. He's kicked the Gatorade big tub off the table, he's kicked the chairs, he's told all the coaches to get out and told the players, you got yourself into this mess, you can get yourself out of that mess.
What was the score?
Can't remember, but I think we were 20 points down and we came back and won 27-20 or something like that.
Because of the coach's speech, you reckon?
No, it's because Matt Giddo told him, well, get out there, mate, we'll do it ourselves. So that's what happened.
So it was a bit of a nudge to the coach.
Yeah.
Nice. But yes, in the last 30 minutes in Manly, the Raiders scored 4 tries and kicked 2 goals to win the match 26-24. An unbelievable comeback considering they lost last week 40-0.
Like that word. Nilch.
Nilch.
What's a nilch?
Thought it would come back up again. A new Nisian footy, word.
Nilch.
40-0.
40-0, yeah.
To the Sharkies. So come back from the week before and also come back from halftime. I thought Joseph Tapine was very, very strong with the ball, taking 16 runs for 159 metres. In another tight match, the Knights take down the struggling Warriors in Newcastle. Didn't see this one coming. Warriors are just in a bit of a slump right now. Coach's comments believes that they can still make their comeback, but this is not about the Warriors. This is about the Knights. And in wet conditions, we only seen 3 tries in this game. Sammy, I know you mentioned this morning some huge scores, but when it rains in rugby league, usually there's not many tries that are scored because extra ball security. So 2 for the Knights and 1 for the Warriors. Both teams kicking penalty goals as well. The Knights had some solid try line defense holding the Warriors out towards the end of the game. But it was the Fijian prop for the Newcastle Knights that scored the game winner, Daniel Saifiti.
Now comes right hand side. Off here to Daniel Saifiti, who can bust the Barnett tackle and go in to score. It was patient for the Newcastle Knights. They had plenty of repeat ball, and at last they make the Warriors pay and go ahead. 12-8, kick to come, Newcastle.
The Knights jump to 11th on the table, and the Warriors sit 14th on the ladder.
Do you know my favourite thing about the Warriors losing? I love the Warriors, don't get me wrong, but I'm so happy that I'm not seeing up the Waz on all social media feeds. It's thank you.
All right, there's one for all the Warriors fans.
Have we lost them? We've lost all our Warriors fans. No, I love the Warriors, just not, yeah, anyway, move
but
on.
I thought another moment over the weekend, we seen the return of the Samoan Prince. No, I'm not going to call him Samoan Prince. I'm going to call him the Super Samoan.
Ooh.
Sua Fa'alongo makes his comeback for his first NRL game this year for the Melbourne Storm. This kid is rapid.
You know he's only had 3 games? 3 NRL games?
First game this year, yes.
Round 27 last year against the Broncos, and he plays as if he's just been there forever.
He also represented Tor Samoa and skittled the Australian defence end of last year
in the Pacific
Championships. But he had this one moment where he comes off the scrum. He's got the winger outside of him. The Titans' defence, they match the same numbers, so they put 2 defenders in front of him and 4 defenders on the other side of the scrum. Melbourne, given the ball early, he just does this big-ass goosey off his right foot, ends up on the outside of the defender, turns the winger inside out, and then slams the ball down for a crazy try.
To the lesser numbers left. Failongo 1-on-1. He beats everyone. And Swan dives into the end goal. Oh, they are just too good. What a try off the scrum. That's 2 set piece tries for Melbourne. They're making the Titans look stupid.
Did I mince his words?
That's the energy.
Made him look stupid.
Well, looking at the NRL ladder, we have on the top, we have the Sharkies, followed by the Storm. 3rd place, we have the Panthers. And sitting in 4th, our good friend, your nephew,
the Dolphins,
Isaiah Katoa. And Jermaine, speaking of the Dolphins, Jermaine Isako scored another hat-trick against the Cowboys in their win on the weekend. And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on Radio Australia. Yes, New South Wales, Jersey Flegg, the Cavite Silk Tails, they lost again to the Eels at Churchill Park, 22-42. Their 8th loss this season from 8 matches. My friend, the well-being officer manager at Parramatta Eels, George Danzi, he went there with the Eels and his
back home to his homeland, Fiji.
Fiji, and there were some photos of when they get welcomed, you know, with the A's, and all the players got that special welcoming from the Cavite Silk Tails. But yeah, unfortunately, That's the
All the players are lining up for the draw. That's why they don't have any players wanting to play for the Silktails.
They are
come playing. Over to Union, lads. Come over.
They are, yeah, because you're going to lose some players to the Sevens soon. They are playing the top of the table Raiders in Nandi this week. I was going to say Nandi.
How do you say hello in the West in Nandi? Do you know? Instead of Bulla, they use Dholavina.
Volonila.
No, Dholavina.
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 There you go, got there.
Thank you, because you're half Tommy and half Fijian. PNG Hunters go back in the winner's circle, smashing the Mendy Blackhawks in Townsville, 52-16. Alex Max got a hat-trick, 4 line breaks and 160 metres. Go on, Alex. And now to the women's footy. So Queensland State of Origin team has been announced. We've seen a number of Nijin players. And Sienna Lofipo, remember Sienna?
Yeah, the hip-hop dancer.
So we had her early, was it last, it was early last year?
Last year, yep.
And remember, if you're new to the show, you can go and listen to that interview wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, you're all over it today, T. You are on fire with the plugs.
Gold Coast Titans. She played in the Queensland Under-19s last year, and she's found a spot in the senior team, the women's team. They'll be playing next week against the Blues. We'll also see...
Next week?
Next week, is it? Yeah, it's next Thursday.
Is that the start of Magic Round is next?
Magic Round is next weekend, not this weekend, the weekend after.
Oh, okay, there you go.
So I'll be here this Friday and then I won't be here the next Friday. You'll have
finally you get a
Professor Paulo.
Oh, finally. Here he goes, having a day off.
I've been waiting, mate, been waiting. We got one.
The Blues squad gets announced on Wednesday.
So we'll be able to cover that
on Friday.
Friday. Yeah. Some other names, Destiny Brill, Avania Politi, and Tasman Gray, Tasman Rapana Gray, the sister of Jordan Rapana. They all made the Queensland State of Origin team as well.
Oh, there'll be a big one come, when you say, a couple of weeks' time?
Next week.
Oh, next week.
Next Thursday night, not this Thursday, next Thursday, played in Brisbane.
Brisbane.
And you'll be able to hear that on Radio ABC Radio Australia.
Well done. That's rugby league. Plenty happening in that code.
Is there anything happening in Union?
Oh, man, it's hard to find. You really got to dig deep into your search to see what's happening in rugby union. But no, happen in rugby. Big things. One, you didn't get a tip right, which is perfect for me. Finally, you got one wrong. And we're going to go to that game, the Reds. Played the Crusaders in Christchurch and they broke a 25-year drought, winning 33-28. Massive achievement for the Reds. The last time, I want you to guess this play, the last time they won, the Queensland Reds won in Christchurch, who was playing at number 8?
So the drought's in 1999,
in Christchurch. The last time the Queensland Reds won over there. Tough place to win.
Wendell Saylor.
He could have been. No, he wasn't in that team. No, he definitely wasn't in that team.
No, too late. Offa Hengawi.
Number 8, no. We have him on every Friday. Big Dota Kefu. He was number 8 for the Queensland Reds. The last time they beat the Crusaders, so... That's good news for them. And one player that is absolutely on fire for the Reds is Hunter Paisami, the Samoan inside centre. He's off contract this year too. He exited Chiefs over in England and looking at signing him. But I think the Wallabies are doing everything they can to keep the Samoan centre here because he's been outstanding this year. The Drua, they played down in Canberra against the Brumbies. They obviously swapped the heat and the humidity for... the cold temperatures down in Canberra, freezing down there. We saw in the warm-up, Valentini, Kemal Valentini, the brother of Rob Valentini, they went and played against each other. Rob plays number 8 for the Brumbies and Kemal plays for the Drua. But we saw him in the warm-up. He was wearing the neck scarf. It was just really rugged up and looked cold. Like all the players looked cold and the Brumbies, they just looked like it was, they were sweet down there. Obviously used to those conditions. But the Drua didn't get the win. They put up a solid fight, though. They went down 28-20, just missing out on the losing bonus point that you can get for losing within 7.
Some good signs, though, from what I've seen on the highlight reels. Solid scrum.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you see on the highlight reels there? What really caught your eye?
It was more the dominant scrum, because you harp on about how the Fijians need to work on their set pieces, so scrums, lineouts, and then is it the Brumbies who actually base their game around that kind of technique?
T, just...
We're learning here. We are learning.
Please, just, you're going to be a one-man band here. Just, this will be the T show. No, covering league and union.
Nah, we're not doing
Man,
that.
Man, that's outstanding. That makes me so happy.
Quick question.
Yeah.
How does it feel when you're on the losing end of a scrum? Is it like...
It's demoralizing.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think, it is. Like, it's an area of the game where it's not flash, it's not pretty, but if they're eight pummels, you're eight in a scrum or more, and it feels like you're on roller skates and you're going backwards, you get up out of it and you've got nothing to say, no comeback, nothing. And it actually is a big part of the energy of a forward pack. And that's why you see in France and South Africa, they want their big men dominating that part of the field, because it allows you to get the upper hand, and your backs feed off that energy as well. They'll come in and give the bum taps, and they've got a solid platform to play off.
Does that, if you lose a scrum, is it pointed at one person, or is it as a collective, or can you break it down to one person when you watch the video?
Yeah,
back?
Usually if you lose a scrum, the props point to the ref and say it's the ref's fault, because they'll say, come on, sir, they're doing something illegal. But there's a lot of dark arts that goes into the front row. It's a special, you need to be a special breed to be in there. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone, to be a front row. The pressure that goes on your neck when you're binding and you're engaging into a scrum, and then especially for a hooker, if it collapses, you think about it, he's on both of his props and he falls, like his head hits the ground first to stop his fall.
You got about 500-600 kilos just coming up straight
plus, so it's a tough position. And as I said, and as you highlighted, the Drua did really well there. You know, the Brumbies had James Slipper, one of the most capped Wallabies and Brumbies players, Alan Alatoa, another Wallaby front rower, and the work of Hetet Ikanevere and Mesake Donge for the Drua, they really knew their assignment and they passed with absolute flying colours. So that was the Drua down there. And T, for the first time ever on Nisian footy, we have audio that we can play from it, and we're going to go straight
You're
to the scrum.
Me.
We're
going to
go. I haven't heard the audio yet, so I want to hear how excited
there
he gets over
no
the
way.
Scrum.
Ball about to be put into the scrum.
Set!
Not a Carney just on his shoulder there. Good push here by the Fijian Drua.
Yeah,
good. And they'll get the penalty. Gee, they've done well at the set piece, haven't they? The scrum in particular.
If you're selling rugby, that's what you want to listen to.
Okay? What? Did you not hear the energy that was said in my one, or rugby league?
Oh.
I hope you do better when you do the Fijian Drua game.
Mate,
surely.
I'm all over that. No, they were all right, mate. It's a scrum, get excited. But we do have a try from Samoan centre, Len Ikitau. He was outstanding in that game, got a few tries, and let's see how he went.
And you can see Valentini there just driving it forward, and it's gone 25 metres. They're 18 metres out here. Make that 15 now. And the Brumbies right at the back here.
Get ready to use it, please.
Calling for it is Goddard.
Okay, right, I'll use it now.
Okay, use it. Goddard comes back now as it goes to Tua. Oh. Tua kicks the ball through. Lovely pick up here for the Brumbies. Try.
That's incredible.
Try to Len Ikitau. He's second for the night.
The cowbells in the background. They sound good.
Hey, well, at least we've got some audio. Perfect. Really appreciate that, ABC. We've got something down there. But the main game, this is...
Oh, that wasn't the main game?
No, this isn't the main... That wasn't the main game. We talked about scrums for a little bit there, but the game of the round was in the beautiful Kingdom of Tonga between Moana Pacifica and the Highlanders. 12 Tongan players featured in the Moana Pacifica team, 2 in the Highlanders. Very wet conditions out there, though, in the beautiful Kingdom. Played at Del Favor Stadium. But that didn't stop the crowd's energy.
I noticed on social media, seen when the Moana team come out, they went up the stairs and were greeted by royalty.
Mate, even better that you're watching footy on the weekend, rugby union, T. I don't know
just
what
you're... Just taking notes, man.
Yeah, nice. But yeah, they met the right before kickoff, as you normally run out of the tunnel, they had to come back up to the grandstand and meet the Crown Prince and the Princess of Tonga. It's something, you know, the formalities that they went through before they went out onto the field. But I think everything that was happening around the ground, we saw a local school there, Liahona, singing songs. We saw fans diving into puddles at the bottom of the hill because it was like it rained heavy. Not quite as bad as the Fijian game, but it rained and they were loving it.
Front flips.
Front flips into the puddle. On the grandstand where the concrete was, we saw these two ladies run and dive across the concrete and slide. Like just there was just so much happening around the grounds that I think if you're a fan watching for the first time, like it really broke up the scenes that you're so used to, you know, when you welcome everyone into the stadium, you see the crowd shots, everyone going in. But this was just full of beautiful moments that I think for the people that organized this game and the games that get played in Samoa and the games that get played in Fiji, they really, like we really need to take our hat off to them and thank them and for taking a risk like this to take the games over to the islands because I think, you know, for us, we can go to a game anytime we want to see the stars up live and then we'll go, you know what, nah, I don't want to go, it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going, I'd rather watch it at home. But when you take the games over to the islands, like one, it can be life-changing for some of the kids because they get to see their stars up close and personal. And it's just a fun day that, you know, they'll go back to the villages for the people that didn't get to go and they'll just talk about how amazing it was.
I would much rather that energy than the energy that was displayed at your magic round in Melbourne, the empty seats.
When was that again? Round two.
Take it to the islands, man.
I think you have to. Like I know Fiji want to put in a bid for
Magic round.
Bull around. They want to call it the bull around.
There you go.
They are.
Right.
But what needs to happen is the investment that needs to come in to make sure that, you know, all the logistics are taken care of because there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes to get these games there.
You know the people, mate. You've been to Parliament. You know the names.
Yeah. I'll get the collection played out for them, pass the hat around, and we'll get it all sorted. But I think that was a game where it was memorable for a lot of the Tongan players, especially Falau Fakatava, who is the halfback for the Highlanders. He got to play in front of his family and took a truckload of kit for them that they wore in the grandstands. And although the Minor Pacifica didn't win, rugby was the winner that day. So I think it was impressive to see. Well, that's it for Super Rugby. So on the ladder, we've got the Drua still in eighth spot. Moana now moved to ninth. None of the bottom five teams won, which helped them. The Hurricanes and the Blues, they still sit on top with 9 wins and 1 loss apiece. So it's only about 4 weeks away from finals footy for Super Rugby.
Anything else in the rugby world?
Oh, there is the Singapore Sevens actually was played over the weekend. Fiji in the men's, only 1 win in their pool stage, beating Ireland. They then beat Spain to finish 9th, and they sit 5th overall. Samoa were winless in the pools, but they beat Canada to finish 11th. They are 11th out of the 12 teams on the ladder. So, yeah, disappointing for Fiji. They're still looking for some consistency, especially leading into the Olympics. So hopefully they can find their form soon. In the women's, Fiji, they finished 6th overall on the ladder after coming 4th in Singapore. They lost to France in the third place playoff. The New Zealand game when Fiji played Japan, that was an epic finish. Japan was going to go to their first ever semi-final in that quarterfinal game, about to score a try. When the Fijian players come over, make the tackle, dislodge the ball, she knocks it on, game over. Fiji advanced to the semi-final. So that was an epic finish in the quarterfinal for the women's sevens. And then Fiji ended up losing to New Zealand in the semi-finals, and New Zealand end up taking out the Singapore Sevens.
Great stuff, Sammy. Usually would go to Shelley for the long story short, but it's Queensland public holiday, so we'll go straight into Culture Shock, where you'll be giving me some Palau facts.
Culture Shock.
Last week we learned about the Blondies in the Solomon Islands. This week we're heading to Palau. Sammy, what can you tell us about these Micronesian islands?
Yes, we're off to Palau, north of PNG, not too far from the Philippines. But what I'm about to reveal is absolutely mind-blowing, T. Get this, since our show aired in Palau last Friday, for the first time, Nesian Footy is the number one radio show in Palau.
the only radio show.
No, number one. I don't know how many's there, but we're number one.
Yep.
According to me. So don't worry about it. What everyone else says, but all jokes aside, this one, T.
Yes.
Something I've learned about you is when it comes to like adventurous foods, it's not really a thing, is it? You know, Tongans and horse.
Popcorn and chocolate covered peanuts.
Yeah, that one, exactly. But you know, you always give me things about the horse meat.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does this sound to you? Fruit bat soup, like a proper fruit bat soup.
I actually looked this up.
Did you?
Yeah. I thought I was on culture shock.
So you're not shocked?
No, but I was shocked when I read it. Continue on.
It's a national delicacy, and they say it tastes like chicken. You get the whole bat in your soup, teeth, fur, the wings.
Are you
everything
sure about that?
In a broth. Yeah, mate. Look at the photo. You just see the bat looking at you like it's still alive. They said it tastes like chicken. It's all right. Not bad. If we go to Palau for Radio Australia.
I'm not eating fruit bat soup. No chance.
Come on, mate. You have to.
I'll eat horse, but I won't eat fruit bat soup.
But I'm going straight for the wing.
You know, it's soup. You don't eat the meat.
No. What do you mean you don't eat the meat?
You drink the soup.
No, but the bat sits on top of the soup.
You eat what you have. You
well, there you have it. I can't wait to get over to Palau when they send us over there and
force us to eat fruit bat soup.
No, they won't force me. I'm getting straight in there. So that's it.
Where are we off to next week?
All right, T, I'm going to send you to Bougainville.
Bougainville.
I've got no idea anything about Bougainville except that someone where I heard it's in PNG somewhere.
Bougainville. All right, I'll go and see what I can find. And let's head over to this great interview, Mona Lisa Soliola.
It's Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona.
Well, Sammy, we have a special guest here on Nijan Footy. She is only 19 years old, Samoan, and an NRLW player. She made her debut for the Dragons in 2022. And in 2023, she scored 3 tries in 8 games for the Canberra Raiders. I bring to you Mona Lisa Soliola. Welcome to Nijan Footy.
Hey, hi.
Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. I just want to start with your name. It's a beautiful name. Is there any backstory with your name compared to the famous painting?
From all I know, unfortunately, there's not. I'm just named after my auntie, my dad's first cousin. Like, they were very, very close. And I'm pretty sure she was named after the painting. But I was just named after her.
Oh, beautiful. Now, that's cool to hear.
I forgot to mention, you're also the niece of Canberra Raiders legend, Sia Soliola. And he tells me that you're one of many siblings. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I've got 4 brothers and 5 sisters, and then there's one more boy on the way.
Oh, another one on the way?
Yeah, yeah. So holy. There's 10 of us currently, and then there will be 11 of us in July.
11 in total.
Is your mum and dad at that stage when, say, if they're going off at the kids, they just name all the kids until they get to the right one, you know, and they just go.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they
yeah,
at that 100%. Stage yet?
Yeah. I don't know how my name gets mixed up in there.
Oh, so your name still gets thrown in the mix?
Yeah,
you know,
it
if
still
the youngest
gets thrown in the mix and whatnot.
Where are you in terms of age? Are you one of the oldest out of the.
Oh,
or soon to be
I'm
11?
The oldest.
You are the oldest?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're at home at 19 years old. You've got 10 younger brothers and sisters. And you're. Yeah. So that's why you're saying that they were running around in the background.
Yeah.
Man, how do you, I guess, which leads us to probably what you're doing right now, NRLW superstar bursting onto the scenes. Like, how do you manage, you know, to train and be professional and prepare for games when you've got, you know, you're still changing nappies pretty much because you've got some 1- and 2-year-olds and obviously one on the way?
Fortunate this year, I mean, last year and this year coming, I'll be staying in Canberra. So, like, I'm a bit away from like the whole frantic things like going on at home.
Yeah.
But when I was staying home and everything, I feel like just from Monday to Friday, as much as I was training Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from Monday to Friday, I try to keep it family based, like try and focus more around family. And then when the game day hit, that was when I was focused on the game. So I feel like just trying to balance out like picking when to focus on family and picking when to focus on the game.
That's cool that you have that mindset. Before I get into your rugby league journey, though, I heard your uncle Sia told me that you're a good discus thrower. How did that come about? And yeah, how far did you go with your discus?
All right, can I get 5 seconds? This guy's just come in the room.
Nah, all good.
I'm so sorry.
This is staying in the interview, by the way.
All right, I'm back.
All right, before we go to the discus story, now we're just going to stick with what's it like at home with having not so many kids, running in the doors like that.
Oh, it's crazy. I just feel like, I don't know, we're not much of a family that locks our doors in general. Like, we have locks and everything, but because there's so many of us, when we're needed, we kind of need to leave the door open. So we need to go like straight away. So yeah, like, maybe I should use my brain and lock the door. But yeah, because we're just not so used to locking the doors. That's like what happens. But like, no, it's cool. It does get like a lot sometimes, like trying to concentrate, but then also like, I feel like something that all of us have adapted to was like knowing certain noises. So like, I know when someone's right outside the door and when someone's in the kitchen or when someone's like far. Yeah.
And if it's silent, you know there's something wrong too. You go, hang on, what? This is too quiet. I know.
Someone's doing something wrong or.
Exactly. Something's happened. Oh, it's funny that you bring up, it just takes me back to our childhood. I'm only one of two, but we grew up with all our cousins. And I remember that when it was just my auntie or my mum or one of them looking after us, they used to just put a loaf of bread on the table and that was it. That's what kept us quiet. So that we'd always just go back, bread and butter, come back and they would go and do whatever they need to do. And for some, I don't know how we survived it and nothing didn't go wrong, touch wood. But how do you keep them all quiet? Like, if you guys go to your room, how many are in each room?
So my parents have their own room and they sleep with the twins. And then I'll explain the age gaps as well. So my sister, the one that's under me, she's 16 and she sleeps with the one that's 14. They stay in the same room. And then we currently stay in a 3-bedroom house. Them two are in that room. And then my grandpa, he stays in that room by himself because he's like the eldest and, you know, we got to take care of him. And then in the second city room, we have all the boys stay in the second city room. And then in the living room, that's where all the younger kids stay. So then I'll just crash, like, I'll either crash in the second city room. I'll just crash wherever I can fit, really.
All the mattresses getting taken to the lounge room. Everyone fall asleep there. We know the drill.
Yeah, it reminds me of the Malai styles. It's they're actually really fun and memories that I've kept pretty much my whole life is those are the fun parts that you've had with your family.
Yeah, 100%. Like, as much as people would think it's a struggle, I feel like these are, like, real core memories as we grow up.
Yeah. Moments that you'll cherish forever. Now let's go to your discus story. How did that come about and how far in your discus career did you make it?
So yeah, in primary school, just local here in Lidcombe, I've grown up here like my whole life, I was like one of the fastest girls here, right? And then I got to like regional stage where I was like, no, I got this in the bag, like whatnot. I came dead last in the regional, so I was like, damn. Oh, well, whatever. So then I was trying to figure out ways to make it all the way to the next level and the next level because I had no idea. Like, I've never experienced the next level and I was really, like, hungry to get to the next level.
Is that just anyway, to get a day off school?
That's was my biggest day off school. The next level after that was New South Wales. And the only way that I knew how to get to New South Wales, and my dad kind of explained it to me, was I got to somehow, like, use my fog genes. So I've got to think of something like as like a strong opponent of how to get to the next level. So then we're looking at like track, the track's point of view, and he's looking at me. He's like, "Nah, you're not running 800 meters. You're not running 400 meters." And then we got to the field events, and he was like, "Oh, why don't you try like shot put or like javelin or like discus?" And I was like, "Yeah, okay, that's cool." So then, yeah, I started doing discus, start doing shot put, and I was getting the hang of it, like. Oh, wow, like, this is cool. This is mad. So then I started training for it on the regular, but I started off going to – there's a park down the road. It's called Phillips Park. I started going to Phillips Park with a saucepan.
Like, oh, yeah?
The really small – yeah, and that's what I was training with.
Like a plate. Yeah.
The plate, is that like what you were practicing with?
Yeah, that's what I was practicing with, because we didn't know that you could buy like equipment. So we were just like, oh, we'll get like the closest thing to it. And then we would strap on like toothpaste or like would like stick on heavy stuff to make up for the weight of it.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. You know, when I'm hearing this story and I think of those, well, I guess we would always talk as fresh moments, or, you know, those funny stories, yeah. Like, this is it. This is it.
Think about it. Where do you even buy a discus?
Oh, there's this thing called Amazon these days, Google online somewhere.
No way. You improvise.
Marketplace.
Not when you've got 10 kids. You're thinking, how do I improvise and make myself a discus?
I'm assuming that if you break that, like, do you tell your parents that you broke the plate and there's no more, and just grab a new one out of the cupboard, and then all of a sudden there's no...
Oh, no. I was not allowed to break it. I was not allowed. I had to make sure that I threw it that far, but very soft.
So you're telling me the way you learned how to throw a discus was sticking things onto a sauce plate and going down to the park and then throwing it, practicing your technique. That is amazing.
All right, and next question: how do you measure? How did you measure? I'm assuming there was no measuring tape. Is it you stepped it out?
We didn't have measuring tape. And my dad, he had gotten his work boots measured, and they were exactly 30 centimeters. So he would go footstep for footstep, and then that was 1 meter. Footstep was another meter. So he'd like do like step by step all the way out to wherever I threw it to, and then we'd kind of guess, oh, that's 30 meters.
That's impressive.
So going back to state, did you end up making state?
Yeah, so I ended up making state. Oh, I made regional that year. Wait, first of all, I made regional that year, broke the regional record, then went to state, came first, and then I went to nationals in Tasmania. And I feel like that was a cool memory for me and my dad, because that was the first time I've taken my dad like anywhere out of state. And he's never been to Tasmania, which was cool. So then like I get to like tell people like, I took my dad to Tasmania. But I took him there. And then at Tasmania, I think I got silver.
Wow, that's impressive.
I'm just thinking of, you know, the parents that have taken their kids, you know, say from a private school or something. They've got this special coach. They've got the latest discus. They're training. And then it's like, oh, how did you get? Yeah, with a saucer and some toothpaste and my dad's 30-centimeter boot.
they win the silver medal in Australia.
Exactly.
How good.
And so can you just... I know we've got to get to your footy bit soon, but...
No, let's just stay here. Don't worry about the footy.
<I know. laughs> But that moment that you're sharing with your dad, I can only imagine how proud he would have been of you and travelling with his eldest daughter down there. What was that like? And were there any of those chats before, you know, you started throwing or for your events?
Yeah. So we had gotten down there. He had told me prior to going down that, like, this is the first time I've been to Tasmania, like, this is real cool. Obviously, we both got emotional at the time, like, I've been here. But I remember briefly, just before they – so at athletics carnivals, they'll call your event three times. I'm putting my shoes on. I'm putting on, like, whatever I've got to put on. And then I'm about to go, and he stops me, and he just goes, no matter what, all I need you to know is if you don't come back with the gold medal – that's it. And then we start laughing. But like, I'm like laughing, like nervous laughing, because I'm like, I don't know if he's being serious. So then I start nervous laughing, and then he goes, no, I'm just joking. Just no matter what, I'm proud of you. And then, that was a cute moment we had. But I feel like, if he didn't make that joke, it would be like real like cliche, like, you know. But he's like that. And I feel like that's something I'm really grateful for, is that as much as it's a serious moment, he knows how to really ground me and bring me back.
What a way to calm the nerves.
But let's cross over to your rugby league journey. You only started playing not that long ago. You crossed over from netball. You know, what was the reason for leaving netball and then jumping straight into rugby league?
Or even leaving discus and jumping leaving a successful sport and then trying something different? Mm.
Yeah, so I think from athletics to netball, it was just only because I think every one of my friends at the time was doing the same thing. Like, we had all started in athletics and we were all transitioning over to netball. Something that really inspired me to come from netball to rugby was being compared to my younger sister. So her name's Becca.
Oh my gosh. Just, yeah, I used to get compared to her all the time. It was like, oh, you're playing a baby sport. Oh, you just don't do contact.
How old are we talking here?
16, was it? She's 16 now?
Yeah, she's a 16-year-old. Okay. So she was, I think at the time I was 14, she was 11. But she was playing in under 16s, I think. Wow. Yeah, she was playing a few ages up.
So she was playing league, you're playing netball, and you're getting compared to the league player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure they just always wanted me to play league because everyone else in my family plays league. I was the only one that went through athletics, then netball, then footy. So, yeah, like, I got compared to her, and then that's what made me switch to rugby because I was like, obviously I want to get offended because I'm like, I can do what you're doing, bro. Like, so, and then, yeah, I started playing alongside her. We're both playing in the 16s comp. Yeah, that's basically how I started playing footy.
Did you ever, at any time, did you ever think, oh, I'm going to play NRLW or I'm going to chase this rugby league dream of mine?
Honestly, at every stage that I excelled to, it was not that it wasn't in my thoughts. It was just more so like I just started playing. Like, I've got to take my time. I don't want to rush this one, especially because I was getting older. I had no other sport to turn to. It felt like I had already played every other sport. And as much as I did want to make it to the top, I just, yeah, like I was saying, I just at the time didn't want to think of it straight away. Like, I wanted to slowly get there. Mm.
Yeah, slowly got there, and it took you 12 months. So, yeah, really patient before you played. Look, you spoke about the toothpaste and the plate to help you train and prepare. I'm curious to know, was there anything like out of the box that helped you prepare for rugby league and, you know, contact, passing, anything like that?
Okay, so there's only like one thing that's a bit weird was I didn't have football shoes that would fit me. I would always wear my sister's shoes or I'd always wear my brother's shoes. On game day, obviously I had football shoes, but when we trained by ourselves, I'd be wearing running spikes.
As the in like athletics. The athletic spikes?
Yeah, I'd be wearing athletic spikes.
Are you even allowed to wear them?
No, because some of the, like my brothers and my sisters, like some of them do have like scars and everything. And we laugh about it now. But like back in the day, it was like I would like slice their like hand and they'd be like, ah.
Oh, so you would wear them at, like down at the park and train with them against other people?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that is the best. You spoke about earlier taking your time and really wanting to grow. I see your resume and you're only 19 years old. It feels like you've got a fair list of achievements that you've already clocked up. Do you feel like it's come pretty fast?
Yeah, I definitely do feel like it has come quite fast. There is days, and I think I struggled with it back in 22, where I felt very flustered. I didn't know how to cop everything that was coming. I was very grateful, of course, but I just didn't know how to handle it, especially with being a pro athlete at the time. I didn't know that there were people that I could reach out to and talk to and whatnot. But obviously over time I've reached out and let people know like, hey, I'm like struggling with this. Is it okay if you can hold off and we can do that another week or whatnot? But yeah, it has come fast, but I've just learned how to cope with it better. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. By trying to be more organized and on top of it.
Yeah, has Samai Matalfa been a big influence in helping you, you know, navigate your way through professional footy?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Especially last year, this whole Canberra team, very grateful for them because they're a bunch of girls that I feel like not only on field know what they're doing, but are really self-aware and organized off field. So they've each and every one of them have paved certain pathways for me in life where some are like, as much as you're doing this, try this way, and others are like, do this, try this way. But yeah, definitely Maima, she's been a big influence in my life. Just recently got the opportunity to train on with the New South Wales squad, and she happened to be in that, and I had been very, very nervous, and she's just such a calm soul. Hey, she's real cool and just brought me back down. She's like, if you weren't supposed to be here, you wouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? And she kind of helps me balance my work life with footy life as well. She's really good at doing that. I still don't know how she does that to this day.
That's no, that's quite impressive. What are some of your goals for the future?
I think short-term goals would most likely just be being able to, because I've played in the NRLW, of course, I've played obviously quite a few games already.
Yeah.
Just being able to reach a point where I know that I'm getting to that next level, if that makes sense. Like, I feel like I've been playing at this one strand these past 2 years, and I want to be able to see myself, and it's not so much of proving others wrong, but proving myself right, that I am better than what I think I am.
Yeah.
And hitting that next strand. So that's definitely a short-term goal. But I think long-term goal is just being able to influence in the right way, being a good influence. So whatever I do now, being able to look back in future, look back and say, oh, like, I did good. Other people are looking at me and my upbringing and my last name and my brand. And just not having anything bad to say, but just learning from me in the right way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. It's crazy to think you're only 19 and you're speaking like this. It's yeah, it's heartwarming. When you speak about your goals, it's like you're painting a picture of a person, or you're explaining someone. Is there someone in your mind that you think, okay, that's the person that is at that level, but also been an influence for yourself and your generation of young NRLW athletes?
Yeah, there is someone that I've been looking up to, and she's always been a very big influence of mine. And it's crazy because there is a quote out there that is, work until your idols become your rivals. And it's quite scary to think that she is a rival at the moment, but she still influences me to this day. And that person being Tiana Panattoni.
Yes.
She is a very big influence of mine. She knows how to hold herself accountable, hold herself strong, but also knowing that she's a human at the end of the day. Do you know what I mean? Like, yep. As much as she's an idol, she knows how to move and have fun with her life. And I think that's something that helps me strive to know that everything will eventually be okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, she's a beautiful soul. We have the privilege of working alongside her, ultimate professional, and loves everything about what she does in terms of helping the next generation come through. So just on that, at that New South Wales camp, what did you take from rubbing shoulders with girls like her, Samaima,
Salah?
What did you take from that camp to say, okay, this is what I need to add to my game, both on and off the field, to take me to that next level?
Yeah, there was heaps of things that I could go on about, like, with what I took out of that. But I think as cliche as it is within sport, something that, like, they really, really stand by is, you're in your own lane. It's just you against you. You don't need to worry about the person next to you. You don't need to worry about the person all the way on the other side of the field. You just need to worry about you making it to that line and back. If you can't make it to that line and back, then there's no point of worrying if she can make it to that line and back.
Yep.
And I think that's something that was really inspiring to me. I feel like I was a person who could give up easily. If I'm coming last, I don't want to do it anymore. If I'm not the best, I'm not the fastest, I'm not going to try anymore. But over the years, and especially after this camp, it's given me a lot of gratitude and a lot of push to just get it done.
Yeah, well, vulnerability is a strength, you know, being vulnerable in those moments and understanding the fact that, yeah, it takes a bit of pain. It takes some putting yourself out there to get where you want to be. And I think for our cultures, it's really important that you yourself understand that from a young age and spread that message, because we've seen it happen all too many times when things got hard. People would give up with all the talent in the world, but you're nearly there. Honestly, Mona Lisa, this has been an amazing chat. I didn't know what to expect coming into it, but honestly, I feel like I could chat to you for hours, heartwarming, full of knowledge, full of laughter.
It's got a boost of energy,
exactly.
Eh?
Exactly.
Let's get out there and get after it now.
I think the NRLW and the Canberra Raiders are very lucky to have you and your energy in their environment. You're going to do great things, and we look forward to tracking your journey for a very long time. But from all of us here, we want to thank you. Maloa Pito, thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you so much, guys.
Talo Falava, my name is Annalisa Seal, and you're listening to Nisian Footy.
Nisian Knowledge.
Yes, last week I gave you
some easy ones
to, you know, bridge that gap. We're stuck on 6-3 for 7 years. So this time It's now
what a comeback.
It's 6-5.5. I'm still just half a point in front. For all our new listeners, we will ask three questions. I don't know what they're related
to. We keep
a
score, and at the end of the season, the loser gets a Nesian footy tattoo on their bum.
On their bum. So there we have it. And so far, I won't be, but maybe not for too much longer, T. So hopefully you got the theme from last week. It is a little bit easier.
Yes, I've helped you out here. All right, so I think I've asked you this one before, but anyway, name the Cook Island Rugby League team, the Tupapa Watts.
Oh, the Tupapa Bears.
I was going to say A, Panthers, B, Tigers, C, Fruit Bats, and D, Bears.
The Tupapa Bears.
And I think you answered that last time as well. It's the Tupapa Panthers.
Oh, no. I'm so confident too. I was confident. You know what? I was like, I remember hearing it from Kale Iro.
That was the Arurangi Bears.
Arurangi Bears.
That's where Kale's from.
See, I got it mixed up.
You actually might get this one if we both research Palau. So one for our Palau listeners. What is the number one sport in Palau? We have A, basketball, B, rugby union, C, football or slash soccer, and D, volleyball.
You know, all those choices, that's not what the information I got sent about Palau with the national sports. Are you sure? Man, our boss sent me some information and said gridiron and baseball are the number one sports in Palau.
Okay, well, so that's not what... The real Palau people, not our boss, who's Australian.
Okay, well, I'm going to go. I'm thinking because
I know she might be over there right now.
Yeah, and that's what she told me. Gave me the heads up.
Or maybe it's just not in season.
Well, I'm just going to go with the American influence, being near the Philippines as well. I'm going to go basketball.
You are correct.
Am I?
The basketball.
Yes.
Basketball, baseball, gridiron, all in the same, but basketball was the answer, according to my sources.
You sack your sources.
All right, this is a good one. How good is your memory?
Oh, it's like a goldfish.
Like a goldfish?
Yeah.
Well, this bloke is actually from Tupapa, and we spoke about him only a few days ago on Nesian Footy Fridays. He gave us the recipe to ruko, the taro leaves, stew,
your dad.
Corned beef. My father.
Yep.
What is my father's name?
Do I have a multiple choice here?
No multiple choice, mate.
Come on, bro. Give us a multiple choice.
And there's some audio where you clearly asked me, what's your father's name again? And I told you his name.
I know your mum's nickname's Milo. Did he play for the Arurangi Bears, did he?
No, he's from Tupapa.
Oh, he's from Tupapa. Okay. Ah, T, I've got to pay more attention, but I've got no. Give me the initials.
You know, I'll give you the answer. Let's play the audio back. There's my recipe.
What's your dad's name?
Toa.
Shout out to Big Toa.
That was only 3 days ago.
My goodness. Well, there you go. People, you really know that my brain doesn't really function that well, and that's our time up for today on Nesian Footy. That puts me in front still, 7. Yeah,
7 plays, 5.5.
Yeah, well, I'm still out in front. Well, great questions, T, but if you want to hear more of what we get up to, remember, there's recent chats with David Mead, Kayo Iro, and plenty more, which you can listen back to wherever you get your podcast.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.